everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Dr. Cleet Bullock is going to be our guest today. He's an expert in interpersonal communication, and we're going to be talking about the kinds of things that an ex-offender needs to adjust in their interpersonal communication skills as they're moving from that prison environment into, like normal society. So we'll be back with Cleet right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Love to hear from you. Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Welcome back, everybody. My guest today is Cleet Bullock. Cleet has a background in education. He has a doctorate from University of Cincinnati. He's got a pretty good grip on intercommunication skills, and those of us coming out of incarceration need to reprogram ourselves in the way that we relate to others. We're going to be talking to Dr. Bullock about that today. Cleet, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Hey. Pleasure being on your show.
Okay. Listen, tell me, what are the five interpersonal communication skills that you like to talk about? What are those? Can you describe those to us?
Sure. Let me rattle them off, and then we'll go back and post-hole on them, okay?
Okay.
Paraphrasing is the main one that I use in my everyday life. Perception checking is another one. Behavior description is one I used a lot when I was assistant principal. And describing feelings is the fourth one. And giving and receiving feedback is the fifth one.
Okay.
That's chapter one in book number two. I describe how to use those.
Okay.
How am I doing so far? Is working for you okay? Or
yeah, everything's
is this
fine.
Too much interference?
No, everything's fine.
Okay.
Which of those five would you say are the most important?
I think paraphrasing is a very important skill.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Paraphrasing, let's say you say something. You describe something to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, this is what I think you said. And I put in my own words my perception of what a person has said. That's called a paraphrase.
Okay.
Now, behavior description would be saying exactly what someone said. This is what you said. And then you repeat what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Paraphrasing is what you think they meant to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times when people say something, they aren't always able to express exactly what it is that's on their mind. So a paraphrase tells them what you think they said. Now, what does that do? Okay. In many cases, it says, I'm listening to you. I care about you. I want to make sure that I understood you. So it's a human relations skill that provides a relationship with that other person. When I was an assistant principal and a principal, or a parent came to my office to complain about what we did to their kid or so forth, and they said, this is what I understand happened here at the school. And they're mad and they're angry. And they explain. And I said, okay, this is what I think you said. And I repeated back what I think they said. And it knows, they know that I care about them as mm-hmm. a person. Mm-hmm. They know that I'm listening to them. They mm-hmm. know that I heard them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the whole idea of the person you're talking to knowing that you're listening is important, isn't it? And it's important to genuinely listen, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There are, openness has two dimensions. One of the dimensions is listening, and the other is telling.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, a lot of people are very open on the telling dimension and not on the listening dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be a good communicator, you have to be open on both dimensions.
Right.
The telling and the listening.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
In any conflict, paraphrasing de-escalates conflict.
Wow. Okay. Where do people fail the most in intercommunication skills? Where do they mess up the most?
It's behavior description is where they mess up the most.
Okay, tell us about that.
Let's say you see something, you see a person doing something. You automatically make a judgment in your own mind about what that behavior meant. Let's say you see a person doing something, and you say, wow, that was stupid. And they say, what do you mean that was stupid? And I said, well, it was just plain stupid. Well, I don't think that was stupid. And you get this argument going.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to say, you know what I just saw you do? They said, what? Well, you made this funny movement with your whatever it is, and you describe the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, I didn't realize I did that. You see?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Behavior description allows the other person, it allows the other person to make the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I was an assistant principal, the teachers would send me notes with the kid. This kid was very rude today. Judgment. I tell the kid, I said, take this back to your teacher and have her describe the behavior that you did that she thinks was rude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, when I get the behavior, I say to the kid, this is what the teacher said. You did. I says, tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the kid to make the judgment. He says, well, that probably wasn't very nice. And I say, you're right. It wasn't very nice. What do you think we ought to do about that? So behavior description
mm-hmm.
puts the ball back in the other person's court.
Gotcha.
Whereas if you see a behavior and you form a judgment and you make that judgment, you create a conflict because people don't like judgments. But human beings, being what we are, making judgments is what we do all the time.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. And when you mention conflict, conflict is really kind of unavoidable, isn't it? I mean, and when we do have a conflict with somebody, is there a proper way to argue? I guess is what I'm asking you.
Well, there are five conflict management styles.
Okay.
We can get into that after we finish with the communication skills.
Gotcha.
If you want.
Gotcha. We'll keep going.
Okay. Feelings are very complicated. The way feelings are dealt with is a communication skill. When I'm driving the car and I'm not driving properly, my wife will say, will you slow down? And she gives me a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't describe the feeling. She gives me a judgment. You know, I'm like I'm driving too fast. If she were to say, you know, I'm kind of scared the way you're driving. And she describes a feeling, and I say, oh, well, what is it that you want me to do? And she tells me what she wants me to do. Many people, instead of describing their feelings, they make a judgment. Again, behavior description of describing feelings is always creates a conflict of one kind or another. And it is not a good communication. It's not a way to communicate when you, instead of describing a feeling, you make the judgment of what it is that someone did that caused you to feel that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And okay. Let's cut this part a little short and move on to the conflict resolution. I'd really like to get your ideas on that, because it's a common problem, it seems like, for people coming out of prison. They have to kind of learn how to reprogram the way they relate to people. And so
that's right.
So
there are five styles.
Okay.
I'll use some examples.
Okay.
President Trump's style tends to be competitive.
Right.
That's a competitive style, and that style, when it's used, I win, you lose. People coming out of prison often are on the losing end of a conflict, because the people that they're in contact with use the competitive style because they want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Other prisoners, I win, you lose. Now, the collaborative style tends not to be used very much in prison, because it's a win-win. Somebody has got enough sense to figure out how both people can get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
The next style that tends to occur quite often is lose-lose. It's called cooperative, the cooperative style.
Okay.
President Trump, with his dealings with the leader of North Korea, for example, he says, I'm going to help you make your country great again. So he's going to have to give something to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why, but in some way the U.S. is going to lose, but North Korea is going to have to give up their nuclear program.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both going to lose. Does that make sense?
It does, Cleet. Yeah.
Well, this is the negotiations that occur in almost all instances with unions, companies that negotiate contracts. They come in with their list of things that they want. So each side gives up something to get something.
Okay, when we have an ex-offender that's trying to learn how to not be so combative in their style, which is what is necessary in prison, or otherwise people will take advantage of you, you know. And so they're learning how to act more like people in society act, and how to get rid of that combativeness and that tendency to argue and I'm right all the time. Which of these approaches would you suggest to the ex-offender when they're coming out?
Well, it's crazy, but there's another style. Now, let me get into the last two.
Okay.
Accommodate is a style. When you give something to make the other person, let's say the example I use most often is President Obama, okay?
Okay.
Well, his style with foreign relations was accommodate. For Bo Bergdahl, he gave up five top Muslim chiefs to get one American prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
With Iran, he gave up $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. And the $400 million to get one prisoner back from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So that was accommodate. I lose, you win. Now, it's very difficult for prisoners to realize that being accommodating is sometimes the thing to do.
Right.
And that's difficult because in prison, it's almost always accommodating. And when you get out, you're tired of that. Mm-hmm. You want to win.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one is avoidance.
Okay.
Avoid. There are four ways to avoid a conflict, okay?
All right.
Negative assertion is one of those. In negative assertion, let's say you come out of prison and you did something stupid and you screw up and somebody calls you on it. And a negative assertion would be, yeah, that was a stupid thing for me to do. I should not have done that. Negative assertion is a big factor. When you admit that you have screwed up and you've done something wrong, it just takes the sting out of whoever's accusing you. They say, okay, I hear you. Now, negative inquiry is a good avoidance tactic as well. Let's say you've screwed up and someone calls you on it, okay? You say, oh, gosh, what could I have done that would have made that better? That takes the sting out of it because it says, hey, I'm willing to change my behavior. I'm willing to cooperate. Tell me what I should have done.
Right.
That would have made that better. How do you like that one?
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Listen, we're getting kind of short on time here, Cleet. So let me just ask you, if you, you know, you're addressing ex-offenders today, what would be your advice in their communication skills, interpersonal communication skills? What would be the main piece of advice that you want to give people who are trying to learn how to, you know, function in normal society again as they move forward with relationships and just daily talking to people?
Well, the biggest would be the openness to factors, listening and telling.
Mm-hmm.
Listening is probably the most important human trait when it comes to getting along with other people. The more you listen, the less trouble you're going to get into. The more you tell, the more trouble you're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my advice to any of your listeners out there.
Go ahead.
We need to become good listeners because listening shows that you care. Listening shows that you're open to the other person. And it begins the building of trust. Getting people to trust you, when you come out of prison, getting people to trust you is a big, big factor.
Right.
People don't like to trust people when they know they've been in prison. So listening is the biggest single building block to getting people to trust you.
Clee, how do we find more information about you? And I'm sure you have a presence on the web. Tell us how we do that.
Well, you can put in my name on the web, and you'll find all the stuff that's out there.
Uh-huh.
My website is www.westga, as in West Georgia, westga.edu/tilt, that little squiggly up in the left-hand corner of the keyboard,
mm-hmm.
and CBULACH, C as in cat, B as in boy, ULACH. That's my website. Everything on my website is free. There's lots of material there on manuscripts I've written and research I've done.
Excellent. And I suggest that people go check that out. Cleet, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope
today.
Hey,
I appreciate your patience with me.
No problem. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. My guest, Cleet Bullock, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.